welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Coach, let's talk about that last game, the 58-28 loss to Lutheran North. First off, you had an extra day to kind of watch film because of the Thursday night game. When you went back and watched film and talked it over with players, what were some of the talking points you had?
The margin for error is so slight when you're playing a team that is more, as talented as they were. We didn't do anything majorly wrong, but we had some situations where we were a step off or a step late or an opportunity where your alignment was just off a little bit. And games like that against teams like that gets exploited, which when we go back and review film, it really permeates to the player what they're hearing on the practice field, what they're seeing in the film room. And now when it happens and you play a game like that and you get exploited a little bit because of something that we're not doing correctly, it really drives it home. Hey, here's what we've got to do. And that was the first thing I did with the coaches to address. All right, if we see something we're doing wrong, how can we do it better with a practice drill, practice technique, something? It starts with us, and then we work down from there. And it was a positive film session. It wasn't anything negative. It wasn't any yelling or screaming. It was just pointing things out. Players took it to heart, and we had some really good things happen in that game. I don't want to throw it all out. But at the same time, there were some things we did were really, really spectacular in that game that we can build on also.
I think one of the things when you look at the numbers, the takeaway I have that from that game is they were clearly a big play team. If you take a look, I think six of their eight touchdowns were for 29 yards or more. I think their eight touchdowns accounted for like 75 to 80% of their offense. So I think it's easy to fall in that trap and look at those numbers. But at the same time, you can look and see the defense looked really good on two-thirds of the plays. It's just a lot of people are going to remember the other third.
Well, and that's what we're trying to really give our players the enthusiasm to go to the next game, because there were a lot of positives. We did. We tackled well in space. We did things really well. Again, it's that one little hiccup. And when you're playing a team like that, I don't say you have to be perfect. You never have to be perfect. But you can't be in the wrong spot and make a play. You've got to be in the right spot against a team like that. And again, I hesitate to say that they're 30 points better than us. They were on last Thursday night. We like to close that gap, and I think that we saw some things that we can really build on, and I think we saw some things that hurt our players that they didn't see before, because we've not seen that kind of speed and size before. So now they know, okay, if I really want to play at that level, here's the things I've got to do.
Through 2 weeks, what are some takeaways? What are some things that you like that you're seeing from the offense?
We're explosive. You know, we had five turnovers the other night, which was alarming. We've never done that since I can't remember the last time we did that. But three of the turnovers were pretty daggum good plays by them. And I look at the amount of yardage we had. That was a team that gave up four touchdowns to the 13th ranked team in the country, number one ranked team in the state of Alabama, 24 game winning streak. They gave up four touchdowns. We scored four touchdowns on them. We had over 400 yards worth of offense, 399 yards of offense. So I think our explosiveness, I'd like to see us run the ball a little bit better in between the tackles when there's the 392 pound guy in there. I get it. But it's still at the same time, if we want to win games like that, we got to run the ball better between the tackles.
And we'll take a quick look at this week's game. What have you seen on film from the school, the Osage team that's coming in 2-0?
They're playing perfect. And I hate to use perfect, but no mistakes. There's no penalties. There's no turnovers. They're on alignment. They're on assignment. And their stands and starts are great. Their effort's outstanding. They've been playing near perfect football. So there's no kink in their armor. They're coming in and they're very confident. They're a really good football team. They've beaten two really good football teams, and they're playing about as crisp and as perfect a football as they can.
Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted DePage. Greg, I think it's one of those things where, it's weird enough to ever see a Blair Oaks loss. They win so much. It's weird to see kind of a blowout loss, and it's weird when you really contrast it where you go from, like, a 49-point win in week one to a 30-point loss in week two. It's very strange, but that just goes to show probably just how good Lutheran North is as a football team.
Right. The strangeness I pointed out was I went back and looked at my by-the-year spreadsheet, and from 2019, because, I mean, I didn't include 2018, because that's when they went undefeated. From 2019 through 2023, Blair Oaks had lost 7 games, I believe. And of those 7 losses, 6 were like 8 points or less, single possession. So they were, when they lost, I would say in a number of those games, they might have fallen behind by like 3, maybe even 4 touchdowns, but they came back and made it a 1-possession game.
Right.
They just ran out of time. That was not the issue. Lutheran North is that good.
Right.
There were multiple Blair Oaks fans who told me that might be the best team they've ever seen Blair Oaks play.
Right.
And I mean, this is my 9th year. I would agree. That's the best team I've ever seen Blair Oaks play. And I got to thinking, okay, who was the previous best? And honestly, I would say maybe that 2017 Maryville team that won. I believe that game was like 49-20, something in that ballpark.
Okay.
So again, it was a blowout win in the 2017 state semifinals. And maybe the team right after that would be last year's Park Hill Central team. I know that was a 48-43 final, but that Park Hill Central team had D1 athletes all over the place,
right,
much like Lutheran North had. I think the difference is Lutheran North had a lot of size on the line to go with the athleticism. And the one thing that just impressed me was they brought back a lot of those skill players, and they just seemed to be 3 levels better, every single one of them. And
one
of the things we talked about last week was they were going to have a new quarterback behind center, and he looked just as good as the Hollis kid from last year.
Okay.
I mean, first play was a 65-yard pass, wide open right down the middle, great ball. And when you've got that, you've got a running back in the Stevenson who looks like a bowling ball every time hits the ball. I mean, they had speed, they had size, they had athleticism, they were hard to tackle. There are times where I'm like, I'm good on Blair Oaks for scoring 28 and making it a 30-point game, because Lutheran North is going to beat some teams by like 50 or 60 this year. They are that good. Like, I would argue they're the best team in the state, class 4 or lower, and I'd argue they could challenge probably about 80-90% of the class 4, 5, and 6 schools in the state. They might be one of the top 10 teams in the state regardless of class.
Yeah.
I really think Lutheran North is that talented.
Well, and I think you said it when you got back to the office after that game. What the scary part is they scored 58 and they might have been able to score more, because it sounds like they were missing some personnel too.
They're missing a wide receiver. He's only a sophomore, but he's already getting Division I offers. But, I mean, they still have plenty of other key pieces.
Right.
Not only that, but the 21 penalties for like 167 yards.
Yeah.
Now, again, I think a bunch of those penalties came in bunches, and it might have stalled a couple of drives, but there were a number of times where they'd have a penalty and they'd turn right back and get like a 30-yard play, and all of a sudden that penalty was pointless. It just made the drive a little bit longer. So the one takeaway I had from last year's game when Lutheran North beat Blair Oaks 38-30 was the first 3 games that they've played, 2018, 20, and 22, when Blair Oaks won, Lutheran North made a few mistakes, and Blair Oaks capitalized on every single one of them. Last year's team played mistake-free and still only won by 8 points. Last week's game, they made mistakes. They made 1 turnover. They had all those penalties. But their mistakes didn't hurt them.
Sure.
Blair Oaks didn't score any points off turnovers because the 1 turnover was right at the end of the half.
Okay.
So it was one of those things. Basically, Blair Oaks prevented them from scoring a touchdown right before halftime. But, Blair Oaks earned those 28 points.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know there are some people in St. Louis like, man, that game could have been a lot worse if Lutheran North didn't make many mistakes. I'm like, if those are the mistakes you're getting really nitpicky about, they're still that's a really, really good team. I know a lot of people are already looking ahead. They play Cardinal Ritter in week 9. If Lutheran North plays like that in week 9, Cardinal Ritter, I don't know who wins that game. That might be a toss-up.
Yeah.
And like I said, they play Maryville in week 7, Lutheran North does. I'll be curious. I know last year Maryville won that game, but Lutheran North's quarterback was out. I'll be curious to see how those two matchup, because then you had that triangle where they've all played each other. Right. You could kind of see how everything falls out at that point.
Absolutely. Well, I guess if you're Blair Oaks, you put that behind you as quick as you can. I mean, obviously you try to learn from it.
Yeah.
And you realize that you're not going to see probably many teams better than that on mm-hmm. your schedule until maybe late in the season. So the thrust is now you turn around and you try to get ready for tonight's home game against Osage. It's 7 o'clock start. You know, we're back to a 7 o'clock start. We're back to a Friday night start.
Yeah.
So things
finally,
feel,
that's our first point of the year.
Things feel a little more normal. So I guess the big thing is, you know, the cynic in some people will say, this will be easier this week. Now we're kind of back to, you know, a team we're familiar with. But it is an Osage team that is coming in 2-0 and posted two convincing wins to start the year. You know, they won 35-0 at home against Bolivar and then won 39-6 at Moberly. So it's not like you're getting a team that's limping into this game.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know how this goes. Like, we basically don't look ahead. We basically focus. We're like a lot of the coaches. We focus on one week at a time.
Right,
like,
like
last week, I was just looking at Lutheran North. Once that game was over, I looked at Osage, and I remember I was watching. You know, I watched their game and listened to a broadcast when they played Moberly last week, and I was like, man, I remember that name from last year. I remember they bring everybody back from last year? And I know Blair Oaks kind of won pretty somewhat. I can't remember the final score off the top of my head, but they won pretty handily on the road, but. We saw, like, there was so much potential with that Osage team. Like, they had, now I will say, a lot of these guys do play both ways, but they're also used to it. They've been doing it for multiple years now, and they've got athletes at their skill positions. The one big takeaway I have for the Moberly game was yardage wasn't very different between the two teams,
okay. But...
Osage didn't turn the ball over. Osage didn't make mistakes. Well, I mean, again, we just talked about that with Lutheran North, that there's a reason why Moberly has outscored opponents 74-6. They don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
Moberly, you know, would move the ball, and then they'd either, the drive would stall, or Osage would force a turnover. I think, if I remember right, they had four takeaways in that win, three interceptions and a fumble recovery on the second play of the game. You know, they force a turnover on downs when they need it. You know, Moberly had a penalty at most inopportune time. So, you know, Osage is 2-0, and very convincingly 2-0, because they have played, I think Coachless Page has described it as, they played near perfect. Like,
okay. Like
they played about as well as they can play.
Yeah.
And the key is, what are they going to look like against the Blair Oaks team? Because that's going to that's going to be the toughest team they probably see in their regular season schedule.
And just so y'all don't have to go back and look it up, I did look it up for you. It was 56-14
yes.
last year, the win at Osage. So it was convincing last year. Mm-hmm. But like you say, again, there's a level of familiarity now this year, this time around, with so many names played in that game last year. And like you say, it's just interesting to see will they be able to take a step up, like some of those Lutheran North players took a step up from last season to this season. Then you go, okay, this might be a different complexion game this time around.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, I think that'll be the interesting part about it. I guess when we're talking about Osage, you know, we have to start where we always start, and we start with a wing tee, which
is
Greg's favorite. It's one of those offenses that they've been running for a very long time. They're very good at it, so it's one of those things where this is a week where you go, all right, it's wing tee prep week.
And they run it well. From what I saw in the Moberly game, I mean, it was very unison. They're not making mistakes when running the wing tee. You know, they've got a running back in Aiden Williams who is... I think Coach LePage kind of described it as he's a 2-for-1 running back, in the fact that, like, he can run fast and he can also break tackles because he's such a big guy.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe not quite as big as a Martez Stevenson from last year, but, I mean, you know, he's still pretty big. And, I mean, there's a reason. 45 carries for 269 and two touchdowns through 2 weeks. Those are great numbers for a running back. And what helps them is he's not the only option. We've seen Jason Colonius and... I remember watching it. I think it was the Bolivar game in week one where he'd had a counter run out of the wing tee and got to the edge and scored on a 22-yard run. So, I mean, you could focus all of your attention on Aiden Williams and do everything you can to stop him, but he's not the only one. You've got, you know, Drake Williams, is averaging more than 10 yards a carry. Granted, very limited carries, but obviously, you know, when he touches the ball, big things have happened for them. And the other thing is, they also, the way I kind of described it was, they were very smart about when they threw the ball out of the wing tee. So talking with Blair Oaks fans, you know, we've seen Maryville over the years transition from a wing T to a spread, but go back to when, like 2018, 19, 20, they'd start throwing more than usual out of the wing T when they play Blair Oaks, because Blair Oaks would stop the run early.
Sure.
And you've got to make in-game adjustments. So right. Their in-game adjustments was throwing the ball. Osage hasn't had to do that. But they also don't want to run the ball 100% of the time. And Maverick Trustee at quarterback has been great about throwing the ball. I mean, he's very accurate. He can throw the ball 20, 25 yards downfield out of the wing tee. He's got receivers that know how to get open, even if it's just by a little bit. So my takeaway from the Moberly game, I mean, I think Trustee was 6-9 passing for, you know, about 100 yards or so, 103. But it was, like I said, it came on big plays. It didn't always come on third down. It came on like that second and seven, and they get that 20-yard gain. And it kind of throw Moberly off. And Moberly's like, oh, man, now we got to worry about these receivers. And then they give you a heavy dose of Aiden Williams for three plays in a row and get another 20 yards there. So, I mean, they just really did a good job of keeping Moberly on its toes all game.
So I guess then we know what the Blair Oaks defense is going to have to face. What about the Blair Oaks offense? Well, you know, they were able to score 28 points against a very, very good team. Now they're playing a team that's only given up 6 points. So yeah. It's kind of a question of, you know, what do we make of only giving up 6 points combined to Bolivar and Moberly?
The turnovers, like Blair Oaks, and you know, really you talk about turnovers. I mean, Blair Oaks committed 5 turnovers against Lutheran North, and Lutheran North scored 28 points, so they scored 4 touchdowns off 5 turnovers. Blair Oaks cannot turn the ball over. Now, the one thing I will say about the Lutheran North game is Tyler Bax threw 4 interceptions, but I think you could easily make the argument 3 of them were not his fault. Lutheran North just made really good athletic plays on the ball that – I mean, any quarterback would have made those interceptions. Okay. I mean, there's at that point, you just tip your cap. There's nothing you can do about it.
Sure.
So, I know a lot of people will see the 4 interceptions. Don't worry. It's one game. Just throw it out like you would with any other NFL quarterback that would have a bad game. It's not a big deal. Now, here's the thing. It's alarming if that pattern continues and you have 3 or 4 interceptions against an Osage. So,
sure.
Blair Oaks definitely has to do a better job of taking care of the ball, because this is an Osage team that is really, really good at forcing turnovers. The one takeaway I have from the Moberly game was, Moberly's quarterback, was always on the run because there's always somebody from Osage chasing him in the backfield.
Okay.
Blair Oaks' O-line, you know what, they got tested last week. Let's see if they can, you know, get past last week and get back to blocking a lot like they did last year, maybe even in week 1 in the Maryville game. You have to give Tyler back some protection. I think the other key is you got to get Hayden Lackman going at running back. You know, Brady Dapkus had 100-plus yards rushing last week against Lutheran North. He had a nice little breakaway 50 or so yard run. But I think Hayden Lackman's – now, don't get me wrong. Hayden Lackman has done a great job receiving, but running, I think he's only had 30 yards rushing through the first 2 games.
Okay.
They've got to find a way to get him going. I mean, he's an all-state running back, I think this is an opportunity. This is a game where just give him a chance to have a breakout game. You face 2 really tough opponents in weeks 1 and week 2. I know a lot of people will say, well, that's the toughest teams that Blair Oaks is going to see all regular season. Okay, now when you're playing these teams that aren't quite as tough, can you step up your performance and show that that's accurate?
So I think it's a natural inclination to look at a game like last week and go 50-28. You took your lumps.
Yeah.
The question is, did they take any lumps in terms of actual translating into injuries, or was it just more of like emotional lumps at that point? How are we set for coming into this game?
No, and that's the other thing that impressed me. I mean, I don't recall anybody getting hurt but for either team in that game. It was just a very, very physical, very clean in terms of injuries games. I mean, you had a lot of athletes out there. I think there's bumps and bruises. Everybody has bumps and bruises, but I think Blair Oaks is going to come into this game relatively healthy. And, like I said, it'll be interesting to see if they can find a way to put it all together. I mean, like we saw last year, I mean, they put that Lutheran North game behind them, used it maybe as motivation to kind of get the ball rolling for the rest of the regular season. So let's see if they can kind of do the same thing again this week.
All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. I'll just ask you, do the Falcons bounce back with a win this week? And if so, what's the score?
I think they do. I think I'll be very curious to see how the defense bounces back. Like I was talking with Coach LePage in the interview earlier in the podcast, I think 6 of Luther North's 8 touchdowns last week were for plays of 29 or yards or more.
Okay.
So I get allowing big plays to very athletic teams like that. Can you prevent big plays from happening with Osage? And Osage is a team that they really haven't been a big play offense. They've been a grind you out type offense. So will Blair Oaks' defense get off the field more often, force more three and outs, force more punts, force some turnovers? I think the offense, again, like we were talking about earlier, 28 points, you have to feel pretty good about that. I mean, Phoenix City, Central out of Alabama scored 30 against Lutheran North, and they're one of the top 25 teams in the nation.
Yeah.
So I think Blair Oaks wins this one. I'm going to say they win 49-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action, J-A-X-O-N, 05. Thanks for listening.